You're listening to the ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Matthew chapter 1. We began last week talking about the characters of Christmas, looking at different characters of Christmas. We looked at the angels. We talked about that there's angels right now in this room. If they were to show themselves, we would all fall on our face. We'd fall flat down until we heard, "Do not be afraid." That's when we'd get back up, is when we heard that. We're going to look this morning at a man named Joseph. Now, when we look at Joseph, everyone goes, "Well, I know Joseph. I know Joseph." Joseph's the fifth wheel of the Christmas story. Joseph's the one that we could kind of do without because of the virgin birth of Mary. Joseph is just kind of the tag along. Joseph's the guy that leads the donkey. But I want us to look at Joseph's heart of character this morning. Because Joseph is such a man of character, it's incredible. And instead of just letting him be the fifth wheel of the nativity scene, let's pull him in close. Let's look at him clearly. Let's really understand what this man was about. Because men, I want you to know, if you and I could be like Joseph, we'd be far better husbands. We'd be far better dads. We'd be far better single men. We'd be far better employees or employers. Ladies, you'd be a far better spouse, a far better employee as well, employer, whatever it is you're doing, a mom, an aunt, a grandmother. By looking at this man, Joseph, we're going to see the qualities that it takes to have character. See, when you look at angels like we did last week, there's a little bit of us that go, "Well, I mean, but that's angels. I mean, of course, angels are going to be good at what they do. They're angels." Then when you look at Jesus, you go, "Well, Jesus is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's, of course, going to do a good job." And so how can I get my hands around something? We're going to get our hands around Joseph this morning and look at him and see some things that we can take away. See, because God wants, in looking at his characters of Christmas, God's characters always have character. God's characters are always looking or having character. See, there's character in the characters of Christmas. When we look at them and we see them, we've got to take some things away. And in Matthew chapter 1 is where we're going to find this story about Joseph. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is what it says. Verse 17, 1 through 17 is basically proving that he's the son of David. Then we get to verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because her husband Joseph was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, and he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Let's take a pause right there. Who is this man Joseph? What's the whole thing about him? What's his last name? Anybody know? No, it's just Joseph. Whenever you get to be such a famous guy, you just use one name. It's Oprah, right? Nobody really has Winfrey anymore. But to have Joseph as his name, everyone knows who he is, but we don't know much about him. And I love the things about Joseph, because when you hear about the things of Joseph, it brings it down to our level in a sense. Joseph was an ordinary man with an extraordinary faith. He was just a simple man. If you were to think about Joseph and to think about what would Joseph's spiritual gifts be, I've been thinking about that this week. I think Joseph's spiritual gifts would be things like helps, service, and compassion. Those would be the things that would embody Joseph's spiritual gifts. He wouldn't be this leader of all leaders. He probably wouldn't be this teacher of all teachers. He wouldn't be this huge evangelist of all evangelists. He would be a person with great gifts of helps. He would have been a helper. He would have been somebody that would have, you would have asked if Joseph could have helped you with something, and he would have said, "For sure." If Joseph would have been next door to you in your neighborhood, you would have borrowed tools from Joseph. And instead of just getting the tools from Joseph, he would have come over to your house and to help you fix whatever it is that you're working on. He would have helped you. He would have been the guy that when he was mowing the yard, he would have always mowed a little bit more of his yard into your yard so that you wouldn't have to mow as much. He'd be the one that if you were gone for the weekend, he would be able to pick up your papers for you and pick up your mail. He would have the gift of helps. He would have the gift of service. He would have the gift of compassion. How do I know that? Well, I'm guessing at that because he's going to take his wife, his engaged, his fiance at the time. He's going to take her on donkey back for many miles. He's going to care for her in a manger. He's going to look after this child that's not his biologically, but he's going to serve. He's going to be an ordinary man with an extraordinary faith. A simple man with a simple job. It's just a simple job. He's a carpenter. Nothing special. Now, carpentry in those days, most of the houses were made out of stone. You would have a stone house or a stucco kind of house. It wasn't wooden houses like what we would have. There'd be framework and larger buildings that they would use and then put stone around them. But a carpenter meant in those days that he was basically a furniture builder or a maker of agrarian tools. The tools that they would use out in the fields to till the fields and to bring in the harvest, a carpenter would help to make those tools. And he would help to make furniture. It was a very simple occupation. But his influence through the simple occupation was absolutely incredible. And oftentimes in today's society, in our world, you think you have to have a big-time job to have big-time influence. God can use every single person. God can use the retired, God can use the working, God can use the janitor, God can use the CEO, God can use the simplest of jobs, God can use the greatest of jobs. Though those that we think are influencers are not always the ones that have the greatest influence. The ones that we see to be influencers are not the ones that always have the greatest influence. I remember as a kid in elementary school, there was a lady named Willie. She was one of the custodians at the school, and she would operate the little waxing thing and clean up the table, and Willie and I got to be friends. You know, bought me the first, besides my family, the first book I ever read? It was Willie. She went down, this maid went and bought me a book. A little third grader went at the book fair and took her money that she used as a custodian to buy that, to give me that book. I'll never forget that. I remember one time as a little kid, something happened. Somebody hurt my feelings. I was crying my eyes out. Who put their arm around me? But Willie, the sweet little custodian. Different ethnicity, different background, different job. Simple job. She just cleaned up after all the messy kids. But when she saw one of those messy kids crying, she put her arm around him. See, the influencers that we think of sometimes are not the ones that have the greatest influence. And Joseph was a simple man. He was a man of simplicity. He made furniture and farm equipment. But he knew that that manger would hold that child. He knew the strength of the cross of Jesus Christ that would come in prophecy. He wasn't there for the cross. He wasn't there at the cross because not only did he have a simple job, a simple life in a sense, he had a short life. Have you ever thought about how long Joseph lived? The last recorded instance of Joseph we have in the Bible is when Jesus Christ is 12. Joseph's life was short. He wasn't at the cross. We never see him in Jesus' ministry. The assumption is that Joseph is dead. Mary was a single mom, possibly through the teenage years of Jesus. Now, the good thing about Jesus as a teenager is he never got D-Haul and he always brought the car back on time or the camel back on time. But Mary is a single mom. Joseph is a short lifespan. We think as an American so often, and that's the only way we know how to think. And we think the way that you have the greatest impact and the greatest influence is having a very influential job. And if you have a big influential job and you're the main man and the main woman wherever you are, whatever you do, that's where your influence comes. Then the next thing we want to do is we all want to live till we're 100 and something, 90 something, whatever it is. And we want to live this long life. Do you know that God can put a dynamic impact in a short life? History gives the role of the encourager to those who die young. And some of the most remarkable people are the people with the shortest lifespan because they're the ones that all of it, God just gives it all at one time. He just shoots them out of the gun. And Joseph, not just the fifth wheel in the nativity scene, not just somebody that leads a donkey across a desert, not somebody that just steps back and goes, well, I'll just stand here while angels come and shepherds come and wise men come and Mary's there and Jesus is there and we'll just let Joseph fade off into the background. No. Simple man of extraordinary faith with a short lifespan, step to the forefront. Step to the forefront and allow God to use you as a character in the characters of the Nativity. See, God's characters always have character. They always have character. What's your character quotient this morning? How deep does your character run? Does your character just run when it's everybody's looking at you? Does your character just run when it's convenient? Does your character just run when it can be used by you? Or does your character run so deep that no matter what you're doing, you're a person of character? No matter what you're about, you're a person of character. See, we're going to see in this next little section of Scripture the character of Joseph in commitment and in difficult decisions. Look at what it says, verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Isn't that a great phrase to be described of us? Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. In verse 18, we get that Joseph, his mother Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. Verse 19, we get that he's going to divorce her. Now, does that sound odd? He's pledged to be married, and he's going to have to divorce her. Now, in our context, that doesn't sound right. When you're pledged to be married, engagement, you break up with them. You don't divorce them. Divorce is what happens after you're married, correct? So what is the difference in these two words? Why are these two words here? I've read this story a gazillion times, and I've never seen the difference in these two words till this week. He's pledged to be married to her, but he's going to have to divorce her because of what appears to be adultery. That is because in the Jewish culture, they were betrothed, is the word for it. They were engaged. It meant to sanctify or to set apart. Kiddushu is what it is. Kiddushu. And that Hebrew word, that meant the importance on the betrothal was almost, it was really more important than the actual wedding ceremony. When you got engaged in our context, you were basically married in the Jewish context. So if you were going to get unengaged, you were going to have to go through a divorce. Now, this betrothal was a major thing. It was a major thing. It still is in our culture and should be. Engagement should be a major thing. It is a major decision. I tell singles all the time, once you ask her dad, you're married at that point. At that section, when you say, can I have your daughter's hand? And he says yes, you better make sure it's the right moment. Because you're going to be in trouble. Better not even show up to that county again if things don't work out. So the betrothal was huge. Now let me explain to you so we can see the character of Joseph. Because character requires commitment. Character requires commitment. If you're a person of character, then you're a person of commitment. And I want us to understand this commitment that Joseph was in. He was betrothed to Mary. Now, betrothal, first and foremost, was a year long. There wasn't any quick marriages. There wasn't any, hey, we met and 6 weeks later we're married. Betrothal was a year in length. And once that betrothal happened, there was a year until you were married, until the wedding ceremony. Now, just FYI, that's what I recommend as well for young singles in our church, older singles, whatever it is. I think it's important to be engaged for a year. Now, obviously, God does different things with different people's lives. There's people that meet and marry in 6 months, and God uses that. That's great. I'm not trying to give some legalistic law. I'm just saying that it's good to see an entire year of somebody's life. What do they like at Christmas? What do they like at spring break? What do they like at Easter? What do they like during football season? Does he just sit in the couch the whole time? You need to know that, ladies, if that's the deal. Because that's what it's going to be for a lot of years. So, and that can be a godly man that does that. I want you to know. Let me tell you, okay? So before you start nudging, it's godliness, okay? But you need to know those things. And when you see somebody for a year, or at least an extended period of time. In this spot, I would recommend as well. In a year, you get to see them in every season. That's important. That's important. I didn't realize that 4th of July was a big holiday to my wife's family until we had been engaged for a year. And then I realized, well, okay, that's an important one to them. So we try to be there on the 4th of July weekends with her family. I would have made a lot of mistakes if I wouldn't have known that. And I discovered that within the engagement process. So they were betrothed for a year. The second thing is the only way that a betrothal was broken was through divorce. If you were going to break this betrothal, you had to get divorced. It was that big. It wasn't just a phone call. It wasn't an email. Hey, I don't think this is going to work out. You say tomato, I say tomato. You're out of here. It was a divorce had to take place. If the man died, the lady was considered a widow. Not during marriage, during the betrothal. She was considered a widow. And adultery in the betrothal time brought the sentence of death. If you cheated on your fiance, you would be killed. There was four different ways that you could be killed. You could be stoned. They'd take you and they'd throw rocks at you until you died. You could be burned. You could be beheaded. Or you could be strangled. Do you see the weight of this? You could be stoned. You could be beheaded. You could be burned at the stake, so to speak. You could be strangled to death. If you committed adultery, if someone died in the relationship, they're a widow. You had to be there for a year. So in today's Judaism, they have brought it together where the betrothal and the wedding ceremony are the same day. Now, because it's so serious, it's so weighty. Now, with that in mind, let's hear the character of Joseph. That in mind, most likely new information. Now Mary walks in and says, I'm pregnant. You're what? I'm pregnant. Well, who's the man? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Really? Yeah, right, sure, uh-huh. And Joseph has got to be in shock. Mary's family is embarrassed, and they fear the death of their teenage daughter. And Joseph fears the death of his betrothed fiance. And he steps forward and he makes what doesn't seem like a real character commitment decision, but he says, I will divorce her quietly. That is the hope of sparing her life. Joseph is choosing and hoping to spare her life by divorcing her quietly. Because if he stepped up in the city streets of Nazareth and said, Mary has betrayed me. Mary has committed adultery. Mary would be killed by the end of that day. And he says, no, I want to divorce her quietly. See, there was a commitment that was there to her even at that moment. See, the only thing worse than being single wanting to be married is being married wanting to be single. And he had his mindset that he was going to take care of his wife-to-be regardless. He was already committed. And so then an angel comes to him in a dream. Do you see why a dream has to happen at this moment? Do you see why it wasn't Joseph saying, well, let's just do that. Let's go get married anyway. I believe you, no problem. He's trying to obey the Jewish law. And in the Jewish law, it says that he should divorce her. Verse 20, but after he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. All the angels say, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from his sins. Joseph chose stick with it. Character requires commitment. The angel spoke to him and said, that's your wife. Don't be afraid of that. That's the one you're committed to. This is God's plan. Character requires commitment. Husband, how committed are you today? Wife, how committed are you today? Parent, how committed are you today? Grandparent, how committed are you today? Christian, how committed are you today? Because commitment is shown, or character is shown in commitment. And he said, I'll stick with this. I'll stick with it. 56 men signed the Declaration of Independence. 5 of them were captured and tortured. 12 of them had their homes ransacked. Two of them lost their sons to the Revolutionary Army. Two of them were sons were captured. Nine of the 56 died from wounds suffered in hardship. One man had to actually give George Washington, he said, fire upon that house to George Washington's army. It was his house. The British had taken it over. He fired upon his own house so that you and I could sit here in independence today. Commitment and character. And we live in a culture where commitment is at an all-time low. No one's committed anymore. Thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you that have been married 50 plus years. It's a message to us in the younger generations. Commitment and character, they go hand in hand. Do you see that Joseph was a man of commitment? His wife that was betrothed to him committed adultery, is what it appeared to be. But we know from the angel declaring in the dream that it wasn't. See, character is also developed in difficult decisions. We like easy decisions, but character is developed in difficult decisions. Joseph had a difficult decision. Do I declare to the city that this is Mary and try to keep my face? Do I divorce her quietly? Then an angel comes, and now I've really got a difficult decision. In a difficult decision, that's where your character is built. In small, difficult decisions, character is built. In big, difficult decisions, character is built. When we have things that come to us that we don't know what to do, that is where character is built. We are so concerned with right and left decisions. And God is saying, no, you choose right and wrong, and I will take care of right and left. Joseph made a righteous decision. He chose to follow the Jewish law. He chose to honor his betrothed wife in the sense of divorcing her quietly. That was in line with the Jewish law. That was in line with what a godly man would do in divorcing her quietly. But God appeared through an angel to say, no, I've got a course correction. Here's my point. If you and I will concern ourselves about making righteous decisions, God will steer us in the right and left decisions. If we will be concerned about what is right and wrong, God will direct us in what we need to do right and left. When we get messed up, our character gets messed up. When we begin to decide between right and left instead of right and wrong. So we do what appears to be right in our own eyes, and we negate our integrity and our character in doing it. You and I must do what is right. And if we do what is right and what is righteous, God will take care of every other decision that follows after that. Joseph said, I'm going to do what's right by the Jewish law. And I'm going to do what's right as far as a godly man, not in my pride, but in my love for my betrothed wife. And then he went to sleep that night, and God said through an angel, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. She is your wife. Character is developed in difficult decisions. During World War II, Winston Churchill received a report that they had cracked the Nazi code. That Winston Churchill, that the people in Britain had cracked the Nazi code. They'd been able to now listen and know what the Nazis were going to do because they had cracked their code. So he had this difficult decision because the code had been cracked, and he found out that they were going to bomb a certain area. So what was he going to do if he evacuated a certain area? The Nazis would know that the code had been cracked and they would change the code. But if he left the people in that certain area for sure death, they would be able to use the code to continue figuring out what the Nazis would do to ultimately win the war. Difficult decision. He chose to allow the people to die so that the code could be cracked, so that more could live. A difficult decision is where character is made. God made the same decision. He chose that his son would die so that we could live. He chose that the wood of the manger would turn into the wood of the cross. He chose to have a carpenter as a father, a father in the home, in a setting, that earthly father, virgin birth, of course. To have Joseph there as a carpenter, that his father, Jesus' father there on earth, was a man that knew about wood, because God's father, Jesus' father in heaven, was going to send him, that his hands were going to die in wood. Isn't it interesting that Jesus' hands worked with wood his entire life so that his death could be in wood as well? And God made a difficult decision to let Jesus Christ die on our behalf. See, character allows for God's course corrections. When we walk in an aspect of difficult decisions, when we walk in an aspect of commitment, we allow for God's course corrections. If God says, no, I want you to go right instead of left, do you listen to him and do you go? Joseph did. When he heard God speak to his heart through an angel speaking to him, he said, I need to make a course correction. I need to go a different direction. The angel's words are significant. He begins and he says, do not be afraid. But he says this, Joseph, son of David. Interesting phrase. Why would he say that? Joseph, son of David. Now, do you ever get mail and you know on the envelope exactly what it is before you open it? Because it says something like this, to the parents of, and then has your child's name in it. To the grandparents of, and then your grandchild's name in it. The owner of the Honda Accord, and you know, okay, this is about the cars. If it says, you know, the taxpayer at, you think, oh no, I know what this is about. By the address, you know the contents. The address of the son of David was saying, okay, something's about to happen because they're tying me as Joseph all the way back to the son of David. That's what verses 1 through 17 are all about. It ties together the son of David so that Jesus could be of the line of David. He could sit on David's throne. And on David's throne, he could be there as king. There's something different about the announcement that he makes. He says, Mary is to be your wife and the baby is of God. In verse 16 of that place there of the lineage, it says that the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, is called the Christ. That of whom is feminine in the Greek. It means it's not of Joseph, it's of Mary. The virgin birth is true. Joseph is a man of character. Joseph, the son of David. Joseph listening to God. And then the most important thing, that the message of Christmas is what declares by the angel. What's the message of Christmas? I was watching the news the other day and they had somebody on and they were giving a little report and they said, you know, the message of Christmas is that we all get along and love each other. And I thought, I don't think that's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas you hear is that everybody would have gifts under their trees. That's not the message of Christmas. Message of Christmas is friends and family. The message of Christmas is gifts and presents. The message of Christmas is gingerbread houses and gingerbread men. The message of Christmas. What is the message of Christmas? The message of Christmas is none of those things. And I don't want to be the Grinch. And I don't want to be Ebenezer Scrooge. I want to tell you the better news. The message of Christmas is this. It's verse 21. And she will give birth to a son. And you will give him the name Jesus. Here it is. Because he will save his people from their sins. That's the message of Christmas. And when you understand the message of Christmas is saving people from their sins, then you'll feed the homeless. Then you'll give gifts in the honor of Jesus Christ. Then you'll give things away. Then you'll celebrate with your family. Then you'll enjoy a gingerbread house. You'll enjoy a great meal and crystal and fine china, all of those things. But the message of Christmas is not food, not family, not be kind to others. It's not any of those things. It is the salvation through Jesus Christ. We live in the land of the group hug. That's America. We choose unity over truth. So we want everybody to come together and sing kumbaya and hug. The message of Christmas is Jesus Christ has come and salvation is open to all. And you can come to know Christ as Savior. Do you know how you change poverty? You change poverty through people getting saved. You know, you change education. You change education by kids realizing there's a Savior. Yeah, you change culture. You change culture by Jesus Christ being lifted or handed to culture to be able to be received through Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ is the message of Christmas. And Joseph comes and he says, I'm going to have great character and my character is going to continue on. And with the character that I have, character continues on. It moves on and on. Character doesn't stop, and Joseph doesn't stop. The last verse before we end, When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel commanded him. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel commanded him. Do you hear commitment in that? What the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife, and he had no union with her until she had gave birth as a son and gave him the name Jesus. Verse 25 is an interesting verse, verse 24 and 25. Catholic doctrine says that there's the perpetual virginity of Mary. Did you know that that's Catholic doctrine? And I grew up Catholic. The perpetual virginity of Mary, that Mary was always a virgin, that even after they got married, she remained a virgin. Throughout her days, she remained a virgin. That's Catholic theology is what it has. This verse says something a little bit different. And the theology that we have in that verse is that Mary, once she was married to Joseph, that she was no longer a virgin and that they had other children. Doesn't matter. It's neither here nor there. It's just something kind of interesting in the aspect there. It's kind of probably even a little bit too much information. You know, I don't want to think about Mary and Joseph. Ugh. You know, so let's just go on. But a little doctrine for you in that. Now, in this, the character continues on. In verse 24 and 25, we see exactly what God said to do in verse 20 and 21. He said, the baby is of the Holy Spirit. I want you to name him Jesus. Verse 25, his name is Jesus. I want you to take Mary as your wife and take her home with you as your wife. Verse 24, he takes her home as his wife. The obedience is continuing on with the character. The character continues on in the obedience. John Wooden, the famous basketball coach, said this, be concerned more with your character than your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is what others merely think you are. Fame is a vapor. Popularity is an accident. Riches take wings. The only thing that endures is character. Character may be manifest in great moments, but it is made in the small moments. The hardest thing to do in the character building things is to decide which bridge to burn and which bridge to build. And Joseph continues to build the bridge of character. And exactly what the angel of the Lord said is exactly what he did. He followed God's commands, not man's opinion. He did not throw in the towel. He didn't throw in the towel. Don't get tired to the extent that you throw in the towel. Don't get tired in Christianity that you just start coming to church and not loving Jesus. Don't get tired in your marriage where you're just roommates and no longer lovers. Don't get tired in your parenting where you've always had it up to here. Don't throw in the towel because character continues on. Don't give up. Keep journeying. Joseph had a long road ahead of him from the manger on. There's a difference in true terms of baby gap and baby reality. Baby gap is you get cute little clothes. Baby reality is a cry at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so he continued on in his character. Character is simply a long habit continued. Don't get tired that you quit. There's a missionary, Adoniram Judson. He was in Burma. He sweated out the heat for 18 years without a furlough, 6 years without a single person coming to Christ. He endured torture. He endured imprisonment. He admitted that he never saw a ship leave the port that he didn't want to get on and leave. When his wife's health went down, he put her on a vessel, on a ship that was headed towards home. And he wouldn't see her for 2 years. He wrote this in his journal. He said, if we could find some quiet rest, some place on earth where we could rest and spend the rest of our days in peace. But then it's as if he steadied himself with his pen and he continued on with writing this. But life is short. And millions of Burmese are perishing. And I am almost the only person on the earth that has attained their language to communicate to them salvation. Every time he saw a ship come into port and leave, he wanted to be on it. But his character made him stand true with the true message of Christmas. Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. When a ship comes into port and it's labeled divorce, don't get on it. When the ship comes into port and it's labeled just be a roommate with her, don't get on it. When the ship comes into port and it says, just kind of appease the kids and sit back in your easy chair, don't get on it. When the ship comes in and says, just get a check where you work, don't get on it. When the ship comes in and says, just do church and just show up and sing a couple hymns, sing a couple choruses, listen to the pastor speak and go home, don't get on it. Walk with God and be a Joseph, because we're betrothed to Christ. We're bond servants of this Savior. And in heaven, there will be a wedding feast. There will be a wedding feast. So as the ships come and go into port, we must stand with character. Character of Joseph. Character of Christ. Not who people think we are, but who we are in the power of Jesus. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't try to usher up a bunch of willpower, because you'll never have enough. You come down front in just a moment. I'd love to tell you about this Savior, because he's come to give you salvation from your sin. We don't like to talk about sin, but all of us have it. You come and you realize the greatest gift is one that's already been given, and his name is Jesus. For those of us that are waning in our character, stand strong. Pray even in this moment that you'd be a man or a woman of character and the roles and the responsibilities God has given you. And let us walk as Joseph walked through difficult decisions, through commitment, through course corrections, and continuing on with the Savior. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this time of Christmas. We thank you of the characters of Christmas, that last week we learned so much about angels, the power of them, that they're right now here in this room with us, probably thousands upon thousands. And if they showed up, we'd fall on our face in fear of the Lord. But Lord, true character is those who fall on their face before they see the angel, before they see the Savior face to face. And may we walk with the character of Joseph. I pray for those in difficult decisions. I pray for those that are engaged, purity, commitment, trust, and strength. Pray for those of us that are already married, for the widows, the widowers in this room, Lord. God, that our commitment would be so strong to you, that it would equate to strength with our spouses, our strength in trusting you to be all that we need, because our spouses have gone on with you. Lord, a simple man, carpenter with a short lifespan, with an extraordinary impact. May he not be a fifth wheel to us this Christmas season, but a major player. In Jesus' name.